How many have heard of fire and brimstone? Welcome to the fire. You have little hell's pieces, the boys run around with the trident pitchforks, roasting all the rotten sinners. How many have heard of that one? How many have read the Bible when it says when Lucifer, the Antichrist, and the demons get chucked into the lake of fire, they're tormented by it day and night? How many means they're not happy campers? How many know the concept that demons love the fire from the Bible is incorrect? They are terrified and frightened by the fire. Whose fire is it? God's. How did God lead the children of Israel? By a pillar of? When Elijah prayed, where did the fire come from? Where did the chariots of fire come from? Heaven. When Abraham prayed, where did the fire and brimstone come down on Sodom and Gomorrah from? Heaven. Jesus' eyes are a flame of fire. Christians are to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and who should own the fire? God. Why would Lucifer be tormented by it? Ezekiel 28:18, God took fire from the midst of his angelic body and turned it to ash. That's why we do not fight against angels that have flesh and blood. They're called demons, fallen angels. Two-thirds of the angels still have flesh and blood. They take on form like man. But demons have had their angelic body consumed by God's fire in heaven. You ever heard? You hearing me? But his spirit is darkened. It says, we do not fight against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers of this present darkness. Darkened evil spirits. That's why when they get chucked into the lake of fire along with Hades, which is the kingdom of darkness, they have nowhere to hide. Because fire gives off light. And God is? You hearing anything of what I'm saying? Some of you are. Wait till you die. I'm standing in what's called the kingdom of darkness. Acts 26:18, Paul said there's a kingdom of darkness ruled by Lucifer and there's a kingdom of light ruled by Jesus. But thank God Isaiah says, those walking in darkness have seen a great. John 1:5 says, light shines in the darkness and darkness flees. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my, I shall not want, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of, I shall fear no, and I shall dwell where? In the house of the Lord forevermore. Who had I made Lord and Shepherd of my soul before I died? I prayed a prayer called the Lord's Prayer, didn't I? I didn't just mumble the words off, probably want a cracker. They came from my heart. I had surrendered my life to the Lordship of Christ. The Bible says those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That he is the Savior of the world. He has paid the power of death. He holds the keys of death and hell, death and Hades. He has conquered it. Death, where is your sting? The sin had been taken away in an ambulance. I'm walking through what? The valley of the shadow of death. Bible says, greater is he within me, isn't it? Nothing can separate me from God's love, neither life nor death, principality or power. Not even Lucifer can separate me from God's love. How many know that's fairly victorious? We overcome how? By the blood of the Lamb. How many be quite happy about this point? These people, these were human beings. These weren't demons. These were people. Bible says they're held in chains of darkness until the day of judgment. Then Hades is cast into a lake of fire. I'm standing here. Next minute, light shines into the darkness. What struck me about the light is that the light, instead of dissipating from its source, it concentrated. It literally pinpointed into me. It was like laser light, complete opposite to light from its source. This, so I can't find it. If you reverse that, you can't produce light like this. This light pierced through the darkness, touched me. As it enveloped me, my entire body lifted off the ground like a speck of dust, and I was caught up into the air. How many have heard when Christ returns, those who are alive shall be what? Caught up into the air. How many can't wait for that to happen and get out of here really quickly? So I am literally going up into the light. As I look up, I can see the kingdom of darkness has a wall. In the midst of it is a circular shape opening. I see the beginning of a tunnel. Jesus said, small and narrow is the way that leads to the kingdom of God. Few find it. Broad is the way that leads to destruction or outer darkness. Highway to hell. Easy rider. Meatloaf. Well, guess what, boys? You won't be on your Harleys down there. It's complete darkness. And you wouldn't want your worst enemy to go there. And there are men's souls in there right now. It says, broad, many find the way to destruction. Few find the way to eternal life. How many people got saved when God judged the world in the first flood? 8 people. How many got saved in the day of Sodom? 4. One turned back and turned to a pillar of salt. How many know that Matthew 24 says the last days will be like the days of Noah and the days of Lot? How many know that's called pretty serious thought, isn't it? Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is fairly serious stuff, isn't it? The final judgment is coming. He said, I will not judge it with water, but I'll judge it with fire. Why? Because God is an all-consuming fire. Christians are not to be afraid of the fire, because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked in the midst of the fire, didn't even touch them. Fire only burns up rubbish. It's a refining, purifying fire. It burns up the dross. I'm now traveling into, at the speed of light, through a tunnel of light. As I'm doing that, waves of light come up towards me. The first wave of light, comfort. Next wave of light, peace. The next wave of light, joy. Now, I tried Southern Comfort and a few others. But this comfort I now know is the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'll send the Comforter who will lead you into all truth. And peace I'll give you. Joy will be your strength. Taste and see. I tell you what, this emotion was so deep, I was already being touched deep in my heart. But I've been taught men don't cry, only boys. A comfort and a peace and a joy. I turned my head to the right. I thought, I wonder what I look like. In the darkness, I couldn't see my hand. It went straight through my face. I turned my head to the right and I see my arm and my hand full of light, transparent. Same shape as my, when I move it, it's my hand. How'd you like to see your hand outside of its physical body and it's yours? The Bible says in a moment, mortality will take on immortality. We shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye. First the natural man, then the heavenly. First the earthly, then the spiritual. God, who is the Father of light, will transform our spiritual being into be sons and daughters of light. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 15:50. But in a moment we shall be changed. The Spirit will leave the human body and return to God, who is what? The Father of light. Can you hear anything I'm saying? I'm going, my God, that's me. That's me. I'm alive. It's me. Come out of the tunnel, kingdom of light. The radiance was so bright it seemed to fill the heavens. I read later in the Bible that the glory that shines around Jesus is so bright you will not need the light of the sun or the moon or the stars. He has risen from the dead and is glorified. Can you imagine so much light that it's actually brighter than the sun coming off one person? The Bible says the Holy Spirit glorifies the Son. The Holy Spirit has fruit, comfort, peace, and joy. As I'm standing here, I hear his voice. He said, Ian, do you wish to return? I realize it's the same person who led me through the Lord's Prayer. I go, oh my God, there's someone in there. How on earth did he know my name? Return where? I look behind me, and here is a tunnel dissipating back into hell. I said, look, if I'm dead out of my body, I don't know where I am. I wish to return. He said, Ian, if you return, you must see in a new light. I said, are you the true light? He said, Ian, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5. As I'd read the Lord's Prayer as words of light in the ambulance, he's now speaking, and words of light are appearing in front of me. God is light. In him there is no darkness. I stand there. I see no shadow, no darkness, no evil. The men had just told me that the darkness that I was in was called hell, Hades. I'm now standing for a person who's calling himself God. And in him there's no darkness. I look behind me and my own spiritual body, which is no longer in physical form, which is full of light, casts no shadow. How many have read there's no shadow or shifting in the Lord? I listened to Hinduism and Buddhism and Taoism. It is said that God is light and darkness in him, in the circle of life, in yin and yang, light and darkness at equal and opposite. How many have seen that wonderful picture in the New Age stores? I'm having a teaching that it completely eclipses any teaching I've heard from Hinduism or Buddhism, Taoism, which says what? God is light and darkness, equal and opposite. Inside the darkness they have a dot of light, possible. In the light they have a dot of darkness, impossible. Darkness will always flee before light. I'm having for the first, I thought all religions taught the same thing. In one statement, God literally eclipsed and got rid of Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism. You hear what I'm saying? God is? And in him there's? How many got a bit of darkness in you? Anyone got a little bit of darkness floating around in you? Why? Because we're fallen, aren't we? We're called a mixed bag. How many know that the light of the world wants to come in? That you no longer walk in darkness. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, John 8, verse 12. Those who come to me shall no longer walk in darkness. How many know that's incredible that God could take all the darkness, all the evil, all the demonic out of you and clean your vessel as white as snow? Sons and daughters of what? Light. Because the Father of light loves people. And he wants to take the darkness, take the evil. He nailed it to the cross, didn't he? He publicly displayed the defeat of Lucifer on a cross. Death could not hold him down. He has risen. I'm standing there in absolute awe of the person that must be inside that light. As I stood there, I said, they've made a mistake. They've beamed the wrong man up. I should crawl back into hell where I came from. I'd done a heap of stuff wrong. I began to move back from the light. Waves of light came off him. This time, love. Pure, unadulterated love. Wave after wave after wave of love and acceptance. I said, God, you can't love me. How can you accept me? Don't you know the commandments are broken? I've cursed you. How many have cursed the Lord? Thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. I said, oh, I've slept around. Anyone slept? No, whatever. Might as well just put my own hand up. How many done adultery and all the other stuff? Just me. Okay. So I said, God, I told him all my sins. In that, wave after wave of love came into me. I began to weep like a little boy. I said, God, how can you forgive me of all my sins? He said, in that ambulance when you prayed the Lord's Prayer, I didn't just forgive some of them. I forgave all of them. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We are saved by amazing grace. My entire spirit, although scarlet red, Isaiah said, shall be as white as snow. Do you understand why the Bible tells all this stuff? Because it's true. How many wonder if you really got it all sorted? You know, some days you kind of, am I really got it all sorted out here? Thank God it's got nothing to do with you. Thank God it's got to do with his amazing grace. Otherwise, no man could make it, could they? Not one of us could make it. Not one of us are good enough or pure enough or clean enough to make it. But his love, his cleansing power. How many cried like a little boy? I mean, I cried and cried. I thought crying was a weakness. I had no idea that the prostitute had wept at the feet of Jesus when Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you. She literally took his feet and with her hair began to dry his feet. Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. Those who have been forgiven much, love much. Jesus found the hardest people to get saved, religious people who thought they were good. People who thought, oh, I'm a very righteous person. I'm a very good person. I've never done that. I've never done that. I found them in church all the time. They'd look down upon people like me. But thank God I had a mother who didn't. She should have leveled the shotgun out the window numbers of times to me and my friends. But you know what she did? She loved, she prayed, she accepted. she showed me something that I've never felt and never forgotten. Love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is forgiving. Love is gentle. Love never takes wrong and holds the bitterness and hatred towards someone. Love continually believes and trusts. Love casts out all fear because fear involves punishment and judgment. His love took out all my fear. I walked into the light. My broken heart was being healed by this light. And in the center, and this is the closest I can find on the internet that look anything like it, his face was literally shining like the sun. The source of all the light was coming out of the face of Jesus. His hair was pure white. I had never seen Jesus ever with pure white hair in any icon, any painting, even today. His hair was always brown, looking like the Son of Man. I had no idea that his hair was white like wool, like snow. It's exactly what John the Apostle saw. Daniel saw it in Daniel 7. His vesture was white like wool, like snow. His hair was radiant white. Daniel saw Jesus before he came to earth. He saw the Father. I'm standing there looking upon the Son of God, white robes down to his bare feet, arms outstretched. And when you see Jesus doing that to you, and you've cursed him on a daily basis, and you thought Christianity was the last religion, last option, I looked at Buddhism and Hinduism, Taoism. I'm now looking at Jesus glorified, hands outstretched, arms of love. And you know what this boy could do? Cry. 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 No, I wasn't sad. It was. How many cry when you're happy? I don't know what that one's all about, but I never knew that one ever could happen. I wanted to turn away. But you know what he was doing? Loving me. I walked up towards him. I could feel the love. I could feel his presence out of his face. When I looked into his face, it was like looking into the beginning of the universe. You know, the star system's up there. I knew that out of his face, literally inside it, were like galaxies, constellations, like eternity within eternity. He had the form of man, but the face of God. That young girl, where is she? She read that. Revelations 1, 13 to 18. I saw one like the Son of Man. He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. His face shining like the sun. His hair white like wool, holding the keys of death and Hades. I stood there looking into the face of God in the form of man. Out of his face, light hit me. Absolute purity. I felt the childhoodness of purity and innocence enter me. I walked closer, holiness, a very abstract word. Holiness flooded into me. The Bible says that Jesus is coming back for a holy, pure bride. That means we need to come into the Holy of Holies to be prepared by him. He will transmit his holiness, not yours. He will make us holy because he's holy. I walked in deeper. I came right up next to him. I tried to see his face. I was a foot away, and Jesus wouldn't permit me to see his face. He stepped to one side. I now know if I'd seen his face, I could not come back. Because no man sees the face of God and lives. Revelations 22:4 says, we will see him face to face in eternity. Unveiled. Fully known. As he stepped aside, right behind him with the same dimension as the tunnel, circular in shape, it was though he was a door of light. As he stepped aside, I saw grass, fields, flowers. Light was coming off the pasture. It looked like untouched paradise. I couldn't believe it. Mountains and blue sky, crystal clear river. God speaking to me said, Ian, I have created a new earth, river of life. How many have heard of this? I thought heaven was a bunch of people sitting on clouds, wearing white sheets, playing harps, and fat little Italian babies with puffed up cheeks firing arrows at you. I had no concept that actually what God had created was a new earth and a new heaven and a new Jerusalem. I'm sorry I'm taking so long. I'm going over time. But thank God in eternity, you don't have to worry about time. You can kiss the whole thing goodbye. In Africa, they throw their watch off anyhow. Forget time. It means nothing. Westerners, my God, time. I'm standing here. I'm built for an African, Asian heart. I'm standing here looking at eternity set before me. No one could prepare me for this. God had come and made this a Garden of Eden. Thank God he's created another one. Quantum physics has only just discovered there's a parallel universe. It took scientists a few 6,000 years to figure it out. God said, I've gone and prepared a place for you. There's a new heaven and a new earth. And guess what? They call it a wormhole. Guess what? There's a tunnel between it. It's a tunnel of light. And everything else has gone to a black hole called the pits of darkness. The world came to existence through light. Guess who it was? God. So Mr. Dawkins and the boys up in Oxford, I've spoken up there, they're going to have a great difficulty explaining who started the light. God said, I am the light. I called it into existence. God is light. I'm looking at a new earth. How many can't wait for the new earth to appear? Don't wait for this one to be remodeled. My Bible tells me it will be destroyed with fire. Why would he destroy with fire? Because that's his presence. He said, I make all things new. Why would he bother remodeling this one when he can make a new one in seconds? He spoke and the worlds came to existence. How many know when you got saved, you became a new creature? The old things have passed away. Why would God not make a new one? Well, he has. He said, my kingdom's not of this world. I am going to it. That might blow your theology, but it's fine. I don't really care. When you get too old, you couldn't give us. And I'm a Kiwi. Next minute, Jesus stood right back in front of me and said, Ian, do you want to stay here or do you want to return? What would you do? Can you imagine your loved ones? No death, no war, no pain, no evil. My feet wouldn't even touch the ground, man. River of life, as it should have been in the beginning. Full redemptive power. God's brought it right back to what it should have been in the beginning. And he makes all things new. He said the temporal suffering of this world's nothing compared to what's set before us. It's light affliction. It's nothing in comparison to the weight of glory. I stood there and thinking, I'm home. I don't want to go back. Why would I want to return back to hell on earth? World War III apocalypse now. Don't watch the old one, it was bad enough. I stood there and I said, I don't want to go back. He said, Ian, do you really want to go back? I said, no, I want to stay here. No one loves me, no one cares for me, I'm not married, I have no children, none that I know of. When you stand before God, trust me, it's not another notch on your belt. You stand there, you know that God's got your number. He knows every single thing you've ever done. You ain't hiding a thing. You can kiss your lust and your filth behind. You stand there, it's called the fear of God. Huh? I look behind me to say goodbye, cruel world. Guess who is behind me? A vision of my mum. I just told God, no one loved me. How many have got one person that loves you? You have to think hard, don't you? Really loves you, not just manipulates, controls you, or kind of abuses you, but actually loves you. I looked back and saw one person who loved me, the closest thing I'd seen to God's love, but her love was like a thimbleful compared to God's love. I said, God, I love her. If I step through this door, she will never know. Who could tell her that her doped-out heathen son got saved in an ambulance? Everything she said was real. The Lord's Prayer had just saved him, and he's now stepping into eternity. I could never come back. I knew if I stepped through that door, it would close, and I would not see Jesus or the door. I'd only see fields and grass and wonder if I'd ever lived on this world. When you've been there a million years, how many know that 60 years or 70 years down here feels like an instant of a glimmer of what was that? Momentary thought. In fact, the Bible says the former things will not come to mind. Isaiah 65, former things will not come to mind. It means you won't remember all this. It'll be gone. You'll wonder if you ever lived here. You'll wonder if it ever existed. You hearing me? I mean, as you get older, you can't remember much anyhow. Not used to the heat down here. Heat? What are you saying? You're all frozen, aren't you? Come to London. 0 at night and 3 or 4 in the morning. That's the high. We've just come out of that. Now the high is about 18. we're about to have a heat wave. So here I am standing, looking at my mum, and I thought, I cannot go through. I have to go back and tell her. How many mothers were quite happy to have your son come back and tell him just been to heaven? My mum's 5'2" and shrinking. That's what does happen. I figured that one out. It starts shrinking. But she is so full of love. She's 83 years of age. Still gardening. Still prays every single day. She's led more people to the Lord than I even know what to do with. And she's never opened a mouth. You know what she's done? Prayed. So I looked back and I said, Mum, I'm going back. Look back again. Jesus said, you must see things in a new light from an eternal perspective. I see my dad. My dad's in the lodge. He's a grandmaster in the lodge. Don't we know what those things are? Thank God my father's got saved out of the lodge and got born again. If you're in the lodge, get out of it. It's got nothing to do with Christianity. As Barry Smith said, it's demonic. The Bible says it's demonic. Get out of it. You can give your membership in, get rid of your whole jewels and the whole lot. Shibboleth, Mahabone, get rid of the whole lot. My father has, thank God. I look back, so my brother and my sister, hundreds of thousands of people. Jesus then, as I see these, I said, why show me all these people? He said, Ian, I want you to go back and tell them what you've seen is real. I said, but I don't know them. I don't love them. Who are they to me? I love my mum. He said, I love them. I desire all of them to come to know me. As I stood there, I suddenly realized that God wanted to save the world. I knew that most of those people out there would never step foot in a church, never come anywhere near it, and had a guts full of religion. How many have had all that? I went, that's my generation. How can you love all them? It's hard enough to love one person, isn't it? God said he loved the world. He desired none of them to perish. I said, how do I go back down the tunnel, back into hell, and back into my body? He said, tilt your head, open your eye, and see. As Jesus spoke to me, I was instantly back in my body. It would have been easier if I floated down. But he spoke to Lazarus. Lazarus come forth. He'd been dead for 4 days. He come back to life the moment Jesus spoke. Jesus spoke and the worlds came into existence. He spoke. Resurrection power brought my spirit back into my body. I had doctors and nurses freaking out as the corpse opened its eye and looked. Everyone running everywhere, freaking out. I'm going, what? I'm lying on a slab in a morgue. How many know that's not exactly near dead? That's called dead. I'd already been certified and written up. It's called brain dead and heart dead. Some people get real smart and say, oh, you're only heart dead. You weren't brain dead. Neurotoxin kills the neurological system, shuts the brain down. When you stop breathing and when that brain gets hit with neurotoxin, it's dead. I'm now, having been dead for 15 to 20 minutes, have come alive on a slab. How many know that's a little bit different? How many know that God loves to confound the wisdom of human beings who are arrogant and would love to explain everything away, but God, who created the universe and created you, actually knows about how to bring people back from the dead. And he wants to make sure that the person is really, really dead so that no one can say they're alive. That's why Jesus waited another day for Lazarus. He said, oh, no, he's dead. No, he waited another day just to make sure 4 days he was really, really dead after 4 days. So that when he brought him back to life, there would be no one that could argue with it. But guess what? They still did. Jesus said, even if the dead come back, they still won't believe. He himself, having been dead for 3 days, came back, they still don't believe. I walked out of the hospital. My fisherman friends freaked out, thought I was a ghost come back from the dead and ran. I flew back to New Zealand and said, God, what's happened to me? This is 1982. And he said, Ian, you were a born-again Christian. I said, I've never heard of it. I've heard of Catholics, Anglicans, Methodists, Presbyterians, and Sallies. What the heck is reborn? He said, well, you were dead. You prayed the Lord's Prayer before you died. That's where you were reborn. I said, what must I do now? He said, read a Bible. I said, I don't have a Bible. He said, your dad's got one. And in 6 weeks, I read the entire Bible. As I read it, it said in John 3:3, you must be born again. I saw the river of life. I saw Jesus glorified. My mother came in, saw me reading the Bible, and burst into tears. I told him a story. She told me how she'd been praying. Exact time. I wept and wept with my mum. Her first prodigal son had come home. I went to the wedding, led my sister to the Lord back on the farm. We're milking 360 dairy cows, and my sister came to Christ. Her living lover got saved, they got married, all the kids got saved, the whole thing got turned around. I began to then realize that Jesus was not only alive, but he was wanting to catch me back up into heaven. And so the Lord began to take me back and show me more of the kingdom of heaven. I saw about 80% of the book of Revelations by God taking me back in there. I realized John was not dead when this happened. John the apostle was alive on the Isle of Patmos. This was written by a man who was alive when he was taken to see the throne room. The heavens are open, the glorified Savior, the river of life, and the Spirit and the bride say, come and drink. I began to realize that this wasn't for when you die, this is for now. I tried to tell people, they freaked out, so I thought, I'm not going to tell them, I'm just going to go there. He's coming back on a white horse. There's an open heaven for anyone who believes. He is the Lord, creator of heaven and earth. Emmanuel, God with us. I'm finished. I've been doing this for 33 years, so it's impossible for me to do it in 45 minutes, but anyhow, we got it down to an hour and 20. Last night it was 2.5 hours or something ridiculous. Bunbury, but they didn't care. What the heck do you do with that? Any questions? Great. We'll move on. Jesus is alive. Whether you believe it or not, he's risen from the dead. He holds eternity in the palm of his hands. Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I'm the exact representation of the invisible God. He said, I came to earth not to judge it, but to save it. I came to lay my life down. Sin came in through one man. I will take the sins of the world upon a cross. And without the shedding of blood, there will be no remission of sins. And like the Passover lamb in Israel, I will become the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the earth. I will gladly lay my life down because only through my sacrifice can you have eternal life. I must conquer the powers of darkness because man, when he sinned, God said, you will die. The only way that God could take that is by laying his life down on the cross for each one of us. But thank God death could not hold him down. You can't kill God. Jesus never took the sin into his spirit. It was taken onto his physical body, made in the form of man a clay vessel. Jesus' light spirit left his body, went into Hades, and took back from Lucifer the keys of death and Hades. He rose again from the dead and literally ascended into heaven. All those who believe shall what? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Thank God for that. Do you believe? Have you given your heart to Jesus? Have you repented of your sins, forgiven others, and asked him into your life as Lord and Savior? If you haven't, and I can guarantee you in almost every meeting, there's some people who haven't given their heart to Jesus. That's why you're here today. Someone's prayed for your friend, member of your family, loved one, neighbor, has invited you to the service, praying with all they've got, like my mum, that somehow you would find Jesus, that somehow you would humble yourself, you would call upon his name and be born again. We're not asking you to join us, we're asking you to join Christ. Thank God there are hundreds of different churches out there that literally have Christians who love the Lord. Hundreds of different denominations. We're not asking you to join our group, we're asking you to join Jesus. He will lead you to the right place. You hearing me? So if you've never invited Jesus into your heart, I'd like you to bow with me in prayer. And if you're a Christian, you're welcome to join me in prayer. But the Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, Jesus Christ is your Lord, you shall be saved. And the key to it, God forgive me of my sins. This is the Lord's Prayer. For I forgive those who have sinned against me. So if you can pray this out loud, please join me in prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on the cross. You are the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus, take away my sins. Cleanse me with your precious blood. Wash me as white as snow. Set me free. I forgive those who have sinned against me. And I humble myself and surrender my life to you. Your will be done. Be my Lord and Savior. Come into my life by the power of your love and power of your Holy Spirit. Help me to follow you all the days of my life. I pray this from my heart. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. If you've prayed that and it's from your heart, can you put your hand on your heart? The greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart. And if you're coming back to the Lord or rededicating your heart or first time believer, could you lift your left hand to heaven? It's a sign, a universal sign saying, Lord, that's me. Lord, that's me. I give you my heart, I give you my life, and lifting my hand, I say, I have decided to follow Jesus. And Lord, I pray for every hand lifted, every heart that surrendered, every repentant sinner that's coming back to the foot of the cross. I pray that your grace and your love would cover all their sins. I pray that you would cleanse their heart, because you say the pure in heart will see God. I pray you'd open up the eyes of their heart again to see you, to find you. And Lord, you said you will heal the broken hearts. You will bind up their wounds. So Lord, even as they lift their hands and surrender to heaven with their hand on their heart, let your healing power, your love begin to flow into their broken lives. Heal, cleanse, forgive. Give them hope where there's no hope. Many people are hopeless, suicidal, have death in them. Lord, bring life. Help them to choose to live again. May they live for eternity. May they live for you. Let resurrection life come in. Let miracles come into their bodies. And let, Lord, your love, which is the greatest, go deep into their heart of hearts. Do a miracle, Lord, this day, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'd like to do one more thing. In 1982, my girlfriend took me to a church in New Zealand. It was a night service. I didn't think God was in church. I'd been to church. When I went to that church, the preacher that was speaking, his face was shining. Every word he spoke went into my heart. And he said, those who are burdened and heavy laden, those who are coming back to Jesus, I want you to stand. I want you to come forward. I want you to kneel down before God. Make the front of the church an altar. I want you to surrender. Some came by themselves, I did. Others came with friends, and they came forward, and we knelt and prayed and made a public declaration of our desire to follow Jesus. I remember that day. I will never forget it. I thank God this preacher had the guts to actually call me to public repentance. Jesus said, if you deny me before man, I will deny you before the Father. If you confess me before man, I will confess you before the Father. In every altar call I've done in the last 33 years, I do what this preacher did to me. Got rid of the fear of man. I had decided to follow Jesus. I was not worried what man thought. I was more worried what God thought. I stood up in the midst of 1,000 people and walked forward. So I'm going to invite you to stand. If you've given your heart back to God or you're making him your Lord for the first time, I want you to come and kneel down with me. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. I don't care if you've done this before. Jesus looks for humble, contrite sinners who know that they are coming back to him. So no matter whoever you are, if you're scared to come by yourself, if you're a Christian, you grab your neighbor, you grab your friend's hand, look at them in the eye and say, look, I'll come with you. I'm not ashamed of coming. I'll come down with you. So Christians, turn to your friend, your neighbor, your loved one, and ask them if they'll come, and you'll bring them. It often requires someone who's a bit shy or a bit scared to have someone come with them, grab their hand and walk forward. But tell you what, it's the best thing ever happened to me. The day I found Jesus. And the best thing that happened to me is when my girlfriend took me to church and I got it. I really, really got it. If you've got a friend kneeling down here, and I want you to come and pray with them. If you've got a friend or a neighbor or a youth or someone that's down here, I want you to come and you kneel next to your friend. You kneel next to the person that you got up here that you love. I don't care if there's three or four of you come up here. I want you to come and kneel next to your friend. And He gives grace to the humble. He's opposed to the proud. Jesus humbled himself unto death upon a cross that everyone who would believe would have eternal life. He gave his life. He died in our place. If you're a Christian, can you reach your hand out towards these people that are kneeling? The Bible says, bless those people who are coming to faith. You bless them, don't you? So Lord, we reach out a hand. We put a hand upon our friend's shoulders and we pray the blessing of God. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that covers all their sins, that they have decided to follow Jesus. The cross before them, the world behind them, no longer bound by sin, but Lord, free. Who the Son of God sets free is free indeed. Let your precious blood cleanse them as white as snow. Give them a fresh start today. Fill them with your Holy Spirit, Lord. And you see their tears. You say you bottle up their tears and you weep with those who weep. And I pray you'd cleanse and heal and purify their hearts. We pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would fill them. Eternal life would fill their hearts. Resurrection life and love. Love them back to life, Lord. Oh my God, love them back. People have hated them, people have judged them, people have destroyed them, ripped their hearts out. We pray, Lord, love would heal every single one of them. Be with them. May they never leave you all the days of their life. Hold them like you did me. Shine your light into their hearts. May they never turn away. May they fix their eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of their faith. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Give someone a hug. You got someone here, just give them a big hug. Love on them.